Okay, a good late afternoon or a good evening. I wonder if, like, are you only allowed to say good evening after Shkia? Is it a din in the Zman? I'm still confused as to this nowadays. But anyway, we find ourselves on Yud Beis Amud Beis, that is 12B. Let me lower my fan so it makes much noise. Okay, so we're on 12B, and we are in the middle of a very fascinating and classic Agadita, which is the story of how Ahasuerus decided to have Queen Vashti beheaded. Well, we don't really know exactly how she dies, is my understanding, but he gets rid of her, whatever happens. It's not even clear that she actually dies, but that is the assumption that she dies. So, previously, we learned how Vashti and Ahasuerus, they actually put the women's party and the men's party right near each other because they intended to sin with one another. And we learned also how when Jews eat and drink, they share Divrei Torah, and the Ovdei Kochavim, when the idolaters eat and drink, they begin to share Divrei Tiflus. And how do we know this? Because there was a whole story about how Ahasuerus was with all of his buddies, and it was the ultimate form of locker room talk. Those who came from one place said, the women in our region are better than the ones in yours. And they're like, no, mine, our women are better than your women. And Ahasuerus says, well, mine's the best of all of yours, and I'll bring her out. And then they say she has to be brought out nude. She refuses. And this is where we pick up the story. So we're up to the words of Itma'ein HaMalka Vashti, that Vashti refused. So this word, by the way, just to know in Talmudic parlance in general, there's a concept called miyun. Miyun is rabbinically, if there's no father, the older brother or the mother of a girl who's not yet 12 and a half, is not a naira, they are allowed to marry her off. However, she has a special form of recourse called miyun, where she could refuse and say, I'm not interested in this guy. So it's the same word, vetima'ein, and Vashti refused that which the king wanted her to do. So vetima'ein ha'malka Vashti, that's where we pick it up. I would venture to guess it's the second section in Art Scroll, because it's the second to last small line. Here we go. Michti pritsasa havi damar marsh daily dvar aver discavnu. So my time alo asi. Wait a minute. We learned last time that Ahasuerus and Vashti actually planned together to cause Gilei Arayos, sexual immorality and propriety. So if this was her intention, then why all of a sudden did she back out when Ahasuerus was seeing their plan to fruition? So Amar Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, actually in Hakinami, she did plan on coming out, but then what happened? Balami Sheparcha Batzaras, either she was afflicted with the skin ailment of Tzaras, or B'mesnisa Tana, the Braisa was taught, Ba Gavriel V'asala Zonav, came the angel Gavriel and gave her a tail. So this is, you guys ever hear that story? This is a classic. That Vashti got a tail, and that's why if a kid dresses up as Vashti for Purim, they put a tail on her also. This is like a favorite in the Agadatas. And if you've never heard it, it's a good thing you came this evening, because if you don't know, now you know. Now Zanav, I didn't actually look too much into it, but Zanav might be a tail, but also might be something else. I think I'd have to look more into it. If I recall correctly, there was an opinion that it might actually be referring to the male member that she was given. That would certainly be embarrassing for her. But we'll leave it with tail for now. Okay, so she denies the king's request. Next pasuk. Vayikzov ha-melech ma'od. And actually, same pasuk. And the king became greatly angry with her. Amai dolkebein kulei hai. I mean, he's making a very forward request of her. If she denies, then maybe Ahasuerus will be a little bit upset with her, disappointed. But why did his anger flare up so greatly? So Amar Rava Shochale Bar Hur Raraye. you son of a stable boy, or depending if you have the word bar in your girsa, you stable boy to Abba, my father. My father, he would be able to drink the amount of wine that 1,000 men would drink, and he wouldn't become inebriated. Bahu Gavra, and this man over here, Achashverosh, it's pejorative, Ishkati Bechamre, and in the word Porta. He drank just a little bit of wine, and then he goes crazy. Which I'm not sure is true. Well, we say it took 7 days, but it was Shabbos. Okay, but this was a huge insult. She didn't just simply say, you know what, I realized Kol Kvodo Basmach Panima, there's an idea of tznius, I shouldn't be going out. She didn't just say, you know what, I thought I could do this, I'm backing out. She decided to insult Achashverosh along the way as well. Miyad v'chamaso barabo. And it was because of that Achashverosh became incensed. They became infuriated with Vashti. Because it wasn't simply that she denied his request, but she did so with such attitude and disrespect by insulting him. That's why he became incensed with her. Oh, did I just lose the Zoom? One moment. Nope, you guys are still there. I'm not sure why that popped away. You guys still hear me? Good? Someone give me a yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, yes. My screen switched for a moment there. Thank you. Okay. Next pasuk, Vayomar HaMelech L'Chachamim. So now Achashverosh is deeply incensed with Vashti. So he wants to seek out the advice of the wise men about what should he do with this woman. Now, it's a very precarious situation because, as we learn, Achashverosh is not from the kingly line. It's actually Vashti who comes from Belshazzar. So Achashverosh married into the royal family through Vashti. So Achashverosh has to be a little bit careful before he takes immediate action against her. And so he wants to consult with the Chachamim. Now, who are these Chachamim? Man Chachamim, Rabbanan. It refers to, you know, the Halakha Rabbanim. Yodei Ha'itim, who are called the Yodei Ha'itim, those who know the different times. What do I mean by they know the times? We learned this in Sefer Chinuch recently. That they are the experts. Which kind of chacham did he go to? Those who are wise and who are experts in creating leap years and establishing the months. That's like a hint. That's a subtle way of referring to what kind of chachamim? The rabbis who specialize in this. Apparently, rabbis specialize in calendars. Thank God this is not considered a specialty of a rabbi today. Otherwise, I'd find a different profession. We just use the luach that gives us the calendar. Amar lahu, do you know Lee? So he went over to them and he said, "Nu." He goes over to the Agudas Yisrael, to the Moetzes Gedolei Torah, and he says, "Nu, this is my case. You know, what do you guys say? What say you?" So Amru, now all the rabbis, they have like a team. They say, "Just give us one moment." They get like a team huddle, all right? Like everyone huddle. Okay, what are we gonna do now? Hechi Navin, what are we supposed to do? Namele Kotla, if we advise Achashverosh to kill Vashti, Lamachar, Pasuk Lechamre, Ubay Laminan. Because what's going to happen? He's angry today. In a day or two, he'll wake up and realize how stupid of a decision this was. And who's he going to blame? He's going to blame us. He's going to say, "These Jews told me to kill my wife. Off with their heads." However, Namele Shafka, but if we tell him not to stand up for his honor, it'd be degrading to his position. And then we would be also in a bad position because anyone who says, that king, he can't even stand up for his own dignity. His wife, you know, just insults him. He does nothing about it. So the rabbis would be blamed for staying his hand. And so it's kind of like a damned if you do, damned if you don't. They're between a wall and a hard place. So what did the rabbis do? They found a clever way of recusing themselves from this. Amrlo, they said, "You know, we're so grateful that you thought you'd come to us to share our advice with you. But you know, miyom shachar beis hamikdash v'galina me'artzenu nitla etzim menu v'inanu yodin ladum dinin afashos. From when our beis hamikdash, our temple, was destroyed, we were sent into galus, we were sent into exile. We no longer, you know, the dark side of the force clouds everything. We can no longer be done dinei nefashos. We can't rule on capital cases, which this is a good connection to makos. Because remember, why, you know, why don't rabbis give out makos? Why don't rabbis, especially, you know, why can't we do capital punishments? With capital punishment, you need the Sanhedrin back in the Beis HaMikdash, Nalishgasa Gazes. We don't have that anymore. And this is a capital case, they say.
But why? I don't get why after
Right. So Toby asks, you know, why is it that Ahasuerus initially wanted to ask the rabbis when there are many other chachamim around? Why were they the first stop? You know, maybe why didn't you go to the, you know, the top, whatever they worshiped back then? I don't know, they worship Marduk, they worship whatever gods they did, the priests of that religion. Why didn't he consult them? Any thoughts, guys? So, wait, why does that keep happening? No, I did not lose them. Keeps popping back to my browser.
I just couldn't get on.
Oh, okay. But you're on now, Gloria. Yeah. So awesome. We're on 12B. 12B. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Huh, interesting. Usually in the back of the Masifta, they address this kind of question. They like have all the questions you can think of on the dot, but they don't have it over here. So the real answer probably is that this is you know, we're talking about apocryphal texts earlier today, Toby. So this is this didn't necessarily happen, but this is more like the rabbis giving their own understanding of the story to convey important messages. So since it's a rabbinic text we're reading, obviously they think, that they're, you know, the biggest Talmid Chacham. I mean, they are the biggest Talmid Chacham, but, you know, this is being written by rabbis. So naturally they think that they're the first ones people should be going to. I mean, they did serve in the court. It's not an odd thing. We're going to talk about Daniel at some point soon in Tosfos, where Daniel served on the court as well. So Jews were part of these kingly courts. It's not so far-fetched, but why exclusively go to the Jews? It's a little unclear. Okay, so good question. But anyway, either way you slice it, they do recuse themselves in the end of the day. Who they say to go to instead? Zeal legavi amunumav, the yesvei v'duchtayu, kechamer de yosef al durdaye. So rather, go to the wise men of Ammon and Moab, who have not been exiled from their lands, and they dwell on their lands like wine dwells on its sediments. And only, what does that mean? Utaima Amrlay, Tchsiv, and it's actually based on a pasuk, Shanan Moab Minu Rav, the Shokit Hu Al Shma Rav, that Moab will be tranquil from its youth, and likewise on its sediments. It wasn't poured from one vessel to another vessel, but gola lo halach, and it never went into exile. So al kain amatamo bo berecho lo namar. So therefore, they never lost their taste, they never lost their scent, their aroma. In other words, a lot of our wisdom has been lost when we went into exile. But these people, they've accumulated wisdom throughout the ages. They've been fortunate enough not to be thrown into exile. They're the people who are the best positioned to give you an answer. Now, the Chacham, of course, think that they know more than Ammon and Moab and are wiser, and I'm sure that's the case. But they're trying to find a clever way to recuse themselves without also making the Chacham look bad and saying, sorry, I don't think we could figure this one out for you. That was their, the humility route. So miyad, v'akarove lov, karshana shesar admasa and sarshish. So that's when he called in all of these advisors. Among them were people from Ammon and Moab. Okay? Amrav Levi, so now these are a bunch of weird names. Why can't it just say, and Ahasuerus called in his advisors? Why does it give us the specific names of them? You know, it's one thing like Haman, okay, Haman or Zeresh, they come up in the Megillah. But why do I need to know the names of these random advisors who never seem to come up again? So Amar of Levi, kol pasuk zeh al shum karbanos nema. So this entire pasuk is actually to teach us something about karbanos. Now what happened was that when all this was going on, the Malachi Asharis, the ministering angels, they came before God and they beseeched, they interceded on behalf of the Jewish people and said, why are you destroying the Jewish people? The Jewish people brought Karbanos to you. Meanwhile, all the other nations, what Karbanos did they bring to you, Hashem, that they should be given a position over the Jewish people? They should be given authority over the Jewish people. They should be able to wipe out the Jewish people. So where do we see this from the words? Karshana, Amar Malachi Asharis, Ibn HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Sha'olam, Klum Hakriv Lefanecha Karim B'nei Shana, Gedar Shekriv Yisrael Lefanecha. So Karshana, like the word Karim, they didn't bring before you any lambs. They didn't bring that were 1 year old. They didn't bring those kind of offerings before you. That's, I believe, referring to the Karm Pesach. Sheser, what's that refer to? Blum hekriv vanecha shtei soren. They didn't bring the two turtle dove offering before you either. Admasa, what does the name Admasa allude to? Klum, banu vanecha mizbeach adama. They did not build for you a mizbeach on the earth. Sarshish, klum shimshul vanecha bebigdei kahuna, dechsivu sarshish v'shoam v'yashin. So sarsh referring to, it's one of the pieces that goes into the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, and so they didn't build for you these beautiful garments in order to glorify your temple. Maris klum mirsu bedam vanecha. Remember the blood in order to pour it on the libation on the corner of the Mizbeach. After the animal slaughtered, they need to, we talk about this like in Yom Kippur service, we describe this in Maseches Yoma, we talk about how you kind of have to stir it around so it doesn't begin to congeal. So they didn't do that. And Marsana, klum mirsib menachos v'necha. Likewise, they didn't mix menachos offerings for you. And then finally, memuchan, klum echinu shulchan v'necha. Did they prepare any special shulchan for you? No. So the angels make their case before God and they say, look at all these offerings that the Jewish people used to bring you. And if you gave them the temple again, they would bring for you. Meanwhile, why are you giving all these other nations such authority and power over them when they've done nothing for you? So that's what all these names allude to, according to Rav Levi. Now, we brought up the name Memuchan. So let me just X out. For some reason, it keeps... That's really weird. Okay, that's very weird. For some reason, my browser keeps coming up instead of Zoom, but you guys are here. Okay, now, Vayomer Memuchan. Who's Memuchan? Satana Memuchan Zahaman. So one of the advisors' names is Memuchan. I always like hear when it gets lame, there's like one person who like, you know, quickly starts banging for Haman, and you're not completely wrong because Memuchan actually is Haman, according to an opinion here in the Gemara. So, should I be banging during Memuchan then because it refers to Haman? I got a better question for you. Should be banging during Haman Bechlal? But we'll leave that for Shir before Purim next year. I think that will be my topic that I research for Purim next year. I actually had it on my calendar. I put like a year in advance on my calendar, like in February time, research that topic. But then I decided to go with the cross-dressing one instead. So next year, that'll be the topic is banging during Haman. Ulava nikra shmo memuchan. So why was, okay, well, just call him Haman. Why is he called memuchan? Shemuchan leparanos, that he was prepared for paranos, that things were already going in a bad direction for him based on the path that he chose. Amrav kahana, mikan shehedyo kopetz barosh. This is an example of where someone who's a hedyo, someone who's in the back of the pack, can jump all the way to the front. So you notice memuchan is all the way at the end of the pasuk. He is the lowest ranking advisor, but he just gives one piece of advice and all of a sudden he jumps straight to the front. He gets a promotion right away. It's interesting. You could probably take it in a negative way. You could take it in a positive way also. You know, it's like the American dream. You come in, you start off as like some immigrant and you're poor, and then all of a sudden you become the CEO of some big corporation. So apparently that's what happened with Haman. He was a low-ranking advisor. And what do you know? Overnight, he gets promoted to the top advisor, second to the king. Beautiful story of resilience and social mobility. Okay. Leos Ko'ish Sower Bebeso. So if you remember, then what does he advise? That they send out these letters saying that the man should be in charge of the house. The man should be in charge, and the women should listen to the men. So the Yoshlish Sorabiso, Amar Rava, Il Male Igros Harishonos, had it not been for these initial letters, Lo Nishtair Misonen Shal Yisrael Sarad Upalit, there would not be any Jews left. How so? Because there were two letters. The first letter was telling everyone that everyone has to listen to the man of the house. The second letter was kill all the Jews. So what did people say? Amre, my mother shoder lon leos kol ish sower beviso. What is this idiotic letter telling us that the man is in charge of the house? Pshita! Of course the man's in charge. Afil karch mabese hardashcha lihavi. Even someone who's like a tailor or someone who's like, I don't know if he's like a bold person, there's different ways to interpret it. Basically, someone who's the lowest on the caste system, at least in his own home, he's the king of the home. So, you know, like Pashut. Of course, you know, we believe in sexism. So why do I need a letter to tell me that? So the thing was, since the first letter they thought maybe was a spam message, they thought maybe the second letter was a spam message. You see, the second letter said, we're going to wait to kill the Jews. But had that been the first letter, people would say, well, if the king is already willing to sanction us killing the Jews, I'm sure he won't mind if we say, Zrizin Magdimin Lemitzvos. You know, we want to fulfill the will of the king. I know he wants me to wait until a later date, but I have such a passion to fulfill the words of Achashverosh and murder the Jews. Zrizin Magdimin Lemitzvos, they're going to jump ahead and do it. But because the first letter was such an odd and absurd letter telling us that the man's in charge of the home, why do I need you to tell me that? They thought it was like a spam letter. They thought it was some sort of weird joke. They don't know what's going on in Achashverosh's mind. They say, you know what? He might tell us to kill the Jews one day, but he might change his mind the next day. And I don't want that on my head for being a murderer and being tried in court. So it was actually that first letter that helped spare the Jews long enough that we had time to do tshuva and survive and live to tell the tale. Fascinating, right? Okay, let me just pause for a moment. Any questions so far? Okay, fanagata, right? We earned it. Vayefked hamelech pikidim. So Achashverosh sets up all of these officers. So Amarav, my the siv. So what are these officers for? They're supposed to go out. They're supposed to find women for Achashverosh. Now, Achashverosh, you know, there's the rated G or PG version of this, and then there's like the PG-13R version of this. So the version we're told as a kid is that, you know, all the women come in and there's some sort of beauty pageant, and then Achashverosh just likes Esther because she's green, or what, we'll get to that later. And so then he chooses Esther as his wife. But actually, if you remember, there's a harem. Harem, is that the right pronunciation?
Harem.
Sounds like harem. That's why I always get confused. Harem. So what happened was, is that every night, Achashverosh basically, you'll forgive my language, but he tried out a different person each and every night. So this is different than what David HaMelech did. So take a look over here. Amarav, Maidisiv Kol Arum Yaseh B'das Uksil Yifrosh Yiveles. That anyone who is shrewd has a negative connotation. What's a positive way to say shrewd? And anyone who knows what they're doing, basically a smart person, he works in knowledge. And someone who's not so wise, he just spreads around stupidity and folly. So kol arum yaseh bedas zed David, who's the wise person? This refers to David HaMelech. Tichsev vayomer lo avadav. Yivak Shuladoni Hamelech Nara Bisula. So they said, all we want is just to find one woman for David HaMelech. This is toward the end of his life when he needed just someone who could warm him. So Koma Dehavle Barta, I see Niele. So then everyone wanted to offer their daughters willingly to David HaMelech. Uxil Yifrosh Yiveles, Ze Achashvero should say Biafkeid HaMelech Pikidim, Koma Dehavle Barta, Itam Ramine. Anyone had a daughter, they were, you know, hide your daughters, hide your wives. You got to hide everyone up because Achashverosh is just coming around. So there, they're ever basically was sending around officers and they're breaking down doors and they were just basically kidnapping women off the street and bringing them to Ahasuerus. So there, unlike David HaMelech, who was searching for one person, Ahasuerus would just mercilessly take everyone. So everybody was basically hiding their daughters from them. Okay. Ishyudi Haya. Okay, so this is the last section. Any questions? Okay. Ishyudi Haya b'shushan habir. Okay, we're doing good on time. We have to stop at 7:45. Ishyudi Haya b'shushan habira ish yemini. So Mordechai is an ish yemini, which means he's from Binyamin. So Maika Amar ilichusa kasi liyachsi v'azah Binyamin. What's the purpose of telling me this? If the purpose of, you know, it lists the different names. If you look in the you look in Nun over here, you look in the pasuk that we have. Ishu dihaya b'shushan habira b'shmor Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish. Ishimini. If the purpose is to give me genealogy, then why stop there? Give me all of the names of generations leading him up, tracing him back to Binyamin. Why stop over there? The Gemara asks. Elamai shnahani. So why do we just get these? Tana kulan shel shmo nikru. Because it's not just to give me, it's not to give me genealogy, but actually these were titles that he had. Ben Yair, what does Ben Yair mean? Ben Sheheir, a name Shal Yisrael B'tfilaso, that he was the man who brought light to the eyes of the Jewish people with his tefillah, with his prayer. Ben Shimi, Ben Sheshama El Tfilaso, so what's it mean to be Ben Shimi? So he's the one who God hearkened to his prayer. Ben Kish, Shehekish Al Shari Rachmim V'nif Techulo. So he was the one who was knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door, and it opened for him. Karile Yehudi. However, he's also not, okay, so now next section, the Gemara. He's not just called someone from Binyamin, but he's also called a Yehudi. He's also called a Yehudi. So Alma Miyahuda Kasi. That would seem to indicate he's from Shevet Yehuda. Ah, Karile Yemini, but also calls him Yemini. That would seem to indicate he comes from Shevet Binyamin. How do we reconcile this? Mordechai had many titles. Here's a simple answer. His father came from Binyamin. His mother came from Yehuda. What tribe would he be from then, according to that? Binyamin. Very good. Because the Shevet follows the father, but Jewish status would follow the mother. Rabbanan Amri, Mishpachos Miskor Zovazo. The tribes, they would fight with each other. Mishpachi Sehudo Maris, Anagar Dmisyalin. We take credit for Mordechai being born. Dmisyal Mordechai. Delo Kotli David Lishmi Ben Gera. Because David did not kill Shimi Ben Gera, and therefore Mordechai eventually came from that. Mishpach, that's kind of funny. Like, we take credit because our ancestor David HaMelech didn't kill Shimon ben Gera. Since he was so benevolent to kill Shimon ben Gera, we're responsible for Mordechai being alive today. It's a funny way to put it. Mishpachas Binyamin Amra, well, Minai Kasi, he's just simply a member of our tribe if you trace the genealogy. So they were fighting with each other. I assume this is potentially post-story part. Like, oh, Mordechai's now the hero. Well, he's one of us. You know what it's like? It's like some guy grows up in like a very yeshivish school where they don't encourage getting a strong secular education, or and then he becomes a high-powered lawyer or a high-powered businessman, and then they're like, he went through our school, and then they try to take all the credit, even though it's not because of the education, but despite it. Okay, so that's kind of what it's like over here. It's like all the Jews were giving Mordechai tzaras. They were, he's like, Mordechai, it's all his fault. Haman wants to kill us. Mordechai's the worst. We want nothing to do with him. And then Mordechai becomes the hero. I'm like, he's one of us. It's all because of us that, we take the credit. So that's kind of what it reminds me of. Okay. But actually, we will see people do complain about him momentarily. Where we leave off? I think we're up to Rava Amar, right? Okay. Rava Amar. Knesset Yisrael Amar Le'idach Hisa. Actually, most of the Jewish people, especially those not from Yehuda and Binyamin, they said otherwise. Ruma also Le'Yehudi, Umashiling Le'Yemini. Look what this Yehudi and Yemini did to us. Ma'asa Le'Yehudi. What's the issue with Shevet Yehuda? Lokatle David the Shimi, since David did not kill Shimi ben Gera, therefore Mordechai came into existence. So they're turning it around. They're like, it's all your fault that Mordechai was born, and we had to go through this whole story. You know, like Mordechai got us out of it, but if Mordechai never refused to bow down to Haman in the first place, this whole issue would have never been a problem. You know, it's like, imagine some like pharmaceutical company, they accidentally create a disease and they're like, oh, but what do you know? We created an antidote to the disease. So, you know, shkoyach. Mordechai. The Mikni Bei Haman. Okay, sorry, I didn't read that whole entire phrase. So it was all because he didn't kill Shimi that Mordechai was born from him. And it was Mordechai who caused Haman to get all incensed. But had Mordechai never been born, we would never need him to save us from this. And what do they mean? What's their issue they take with Binyamin? Since Shaul did not kill Agag, remember we were talking about before Purim, we're learning about the whole, can I kill Amalek nowadays? Well, Haman comes from Agag. So Haman seems to be from Amalek. And had Shaul HaMelech, who's from Binyamin, done his job like Shmuel commanded through God to kill all of Amalek, we wouldn't have Haman here to begin with. So the Jews are like, you know, we'd be better off without the tribe of Judah and Binyamin altogether because they got us into this front to begin with. Okay. So that was answer number one. Answer number one to reconciling how Mordechai is both a Yehudi and a Yemini is that his father was from Binyamin and his mother was from Yehuda. Another reconciliation is, no, he is full bred from Binyamin. Mordechai is a full bred Benjamite. Benjamite? Whatever. But my kari le Yehudi. So why is he called Yehudi? Al shom she kafar bavod zara. She called Gover Bavoda Zara, Nikra Yehudi, Kedixiv, I see Govern Yehudi. Anyone who denies and rejects Avoda Zara is called the Yehudi. As it says over here in the Pasuk, this is from Daniel, I believe. I mean, I could assume easily based on the Aramaic, of course. This is from Daniel. Bring over these Jewish people who refuse to bow down to the Avoda Zara. So we see that those who deny and reject the Avodah Zarah are called Yehuda. So Mordechai is actually from Binyamin, but he's called a Yehudi because he rejected Avodah Zarah. Okay. I have one more thing to share in Tosfos. Let me pause. Any questions on the Gemara? That's all the Gemara we're doing. Okay. So remember earlier in the Gemara, if you take a look on Yubez on Base, you go back to the original page, you look at the last Tosfos on the bottom, the Muchan. It's a very short one. So remember we said Mamuchan was Haman. And what did Haman do? Haman gave the advice, A, to kill Vashti, but also to send out these letters that the man is in charge of the home. So you want to see something really crazy here? Look at Tosos. Tosos says, Yesh Medrash Shahaya Daniel. The Mamuchan was not Haman, but was actually the prophet Daniel. Okay, so why would Daniel give this kind of advice then? What did Daniel, why was Daniel biased to send out a letter that asserted that men indeed are the kings of the homes? The Shahaya Nasoi Lissaris, Shahaya Gedola Mimenu. He was married to a noble woman who was had a higher status than him. Shahaya Yochel Kofla Darik Lashono, and since he couldn't compel her to speak in his language, he had to learn her language and speak to her in her language. Yat Lasos came. So apparently, this is crazy stuff. Daniel was in the court of the king, and Daniel was, I'll explain over here. Daniel basically, the Sefer Taima Dekra says that based on Sanhedrin, Sadi Gimel Beis, Daniel was a saris. He was basically a eunuch. And therefore, being someone who is oh, Erwin. Hey, he scared us there. okay. Welcome, Erwin. So, since Daniel was a... I'm scaring myself, apparently. I scared myself. Since Daniel was a eunuch, and so, l'kach l'hoi yochol lista yisraelis, avohai mutter b'yoros, but he can marry a convert. L'kach nasig yoros farsis. So he married this Persian woman. Apparently, he was able to get her to convert to Judaism, but that's as far as she went. She didn't really want to speak his language, and they had apparently marital issues with each other. And so instead of going to a marriage counselor and work things out between them, he decided to have this letter sent out that affirms that the man is in charge and you have to listen to the man. So it's interesting, according to this Medrash, Daniel would be before, Daniel was in the court of Belshazzar, right? And we learned in our history lesson, Belshazzar is a number of kings before this, during the Babylonian Empire. So Daniel would, according to this Medrash, would have had to live around for quite a while. But if you assume that's true, it's just like a crazy Medrash, you know, it's like, wait, what's Daniel doing here? And why does Daniel want this letter sent out? Oh, you know, Daniel like was married to this Persian woman that converted, didn't want to speak his language, and to kind of set things straight, instead of going for marital counseling, he just had Ahasuerus send out a gezeira and said, ha, woman, you have to speak my language now. It's really, I mean, I don't want to say crazy, Chas v'Shalom, but it's very entertaining almost. And maybe, you know, I have to look at the original text of the Medrash that Tosfos is referring to better understand what the import of it is. I'm sure there's some deep special lesson behind it. Alas, I am not aware of what that special lesson is at this point. If someone finds out, please let us know next time, okay? All right, that brings us to the end for today. Oh, a few minutes early even. Yasher Koach, Toby, thank you for coming out. And Erwin in the kitchenette, thanks for coming as well. And good seeing you all, Gloria, Zadie, Arthur, Mayor, Susan, Phyllis, and Oliver. Good learning together. And God willing, looking forward to doing so next week as well. Okay, good Shabbos, everyone.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.